Podcast, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
I'm Jimmy.
So how's your past week been, Jimmy?
It's been pretty chill. I don't know if you've ever been to this, but I just recently went to a silent disco. I don't know if you know what that is.
I've heard of them. I've never been to one. So isn't it the thing where, like, you go in a room, but everybody has, like, their own headset or whatever, so you're dancing to music that realistically only you can hear?
Yeah, so I was with some friends, and we were bar hopping, and one of the bars, everyone was wearing headphones, and we were like, well, what's going on? And then there was a table full of headphones, and you put it on, and there's three different stations you can listen to, like, the DJ's playing three different tracks. And you get to pick what you want to, like, dance to. It's really weird. It was really weird because you want to sing along, but not everyone's listening to the same thing as you.
Right. But there's a good chance a 1 in 3 shot that you'll match up with someone else.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I saw people jamming, like, really, like, banging their heads and, like, moving around, I would definitely switch my thing, because you could see on the sides like the colors of what station they were on.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it color-coded, like purple for metal, red for rock, and green for country? I don't know. I picked those random colors. But yeah, I was wondering if that was the case.
Yeah, it kind of. One was like, two were kind of rap pop mixes, I guess top 40 stuff. And then one was Tejano music. I'm from Texas. I'm in Texas, everyone. So, you know, that's kind of the jam sometimes. But, man, that Tejano music, I was definitely getting down to that at some points. My knees do not appreciate it.
Well, you got to let loose every once in a while. I grew up in San Antonio, and like half of all the stations in San Antonio are Tejano music. So I know exactly what you're thinking of, what you're saying. Yeah. Well, that sounds fun. I've always wanted to kind of do one of those. I just never got around to it.
Yeah, I never knew when, like, where there was a place that did it often, but it was a fun experience. I'm glad I did it.
Nice. Hopefully I can find, it's San Francisco. I'd be shocked if there wasn't a silent disco around there. Maybe I'll find one in the next week or so and report back.
Yeah, but how's your week been?
My week? So the week itself was pretty mundane, nothing too exciting, just a, you know, normal work week, more or less. I did fly out to the Midwest to visit family, so I'm actually calling in from Wisconsin right now. And yeah, it was fun. My dog, I brought my dog with me, and she chewed through her bag because she didn't like being in confined spaces, so she chewed a hole through the top of it so she could poke her head out. And I'm like, well, I guess she really didn't like being in here.
Oh, did she get to? She rode on the airplane with you, right?
Yeah,
she's small. She's a tiny dog.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a little tiny dog, but a little bit of a troublemaker, too. But yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean, it's funny because when I was growing up in Texas, you'd come to Wisconsin for it to be a little bit cooler. But, like, right now, it's pretty much the same temperature, give or take 5 degrees, what it would be in San Francisco.
So, Wisconsin, is it true? I've never been. The cheese, way better?
Absolutely. Every city, every state, whatever, has, like, the one or two or maybe three dishes they're known for. You go to Austin, maybe it's like breakfast tacos and barbecue. You go to Philadelphia, you get some of the cheesesteaks. You go to Chicago, you get lasagna in the format of a pizza, pretty much lasagna with the bread crust and no noodles. But, you know, I think here, like, the big thing with Wisconsin is definitely the cheese. The cheese curds are amazing. You know, you can get cheese curds just about anywhere, you know. But they definitely taste better here in my experience.
Oh, yeah. I love a cheese curd. I'm kind of recently new to cheese curds, but I enjoy them. I like dipping them in ranch. I don't know if that's sacrilegious, but that's what I do.
I mean, that sounds delicious. I don't care if it's sacrilegious. It sounds amazing. I love poutine. Like, I'm a big poutine person. Well, I enjoy it when I have it, but I can also be, for a non-Canadian, I could be a poutine snob and I'll be like, oh, this one tastes like whatever. But you know, if you get good cheese curds, it's good. And then you know, cheese curds, like you can get like the deep fried cheese curds, and you'd be like, oh, is that just a mozzarella stick? It's like, nah, it tastes way better than a mozzarella stick. And then of course you can get them like grilled on your burger. You get all this good stuff. So it's a really nice thing that Wisconsin exports.
Oh yeah, cheese curds are very different than fried mozzarella. I mean, you think the premise is the same, it's fried cheese, but if you have them like side by side, there's a difference.
Like mozzarella sticks are all right, but cheese curds, like that deep fried cheese curds, a whole nother level. You're headed to the Midwest soon, aren't you?
Yes, I will be flying out to Indiana in a couple of days for kind of like a visiting a friend, visiting a couple friends actually, and just like a little vacation. Got to use that vacation time before they take it away from me. Or my vacation time doesn't roll over. So you use it or lose it.
Oh, that sucks. I would hate to have to do that. Like, I know it sounds weird, like, oh, I hate having to take vacation, but it's like, I'd hate to have to like be told to go. I think that's my thing. It's like, I'll do anything as long as you don't tell me to do it. Like, if it's my own idea, then I'm fine. But if you tell me I have to do it, then I'm like resistant.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're like, we'd rather you not use your vacation time and just work, but I'm taking it. I'm taking it. I'm trying to find some short trips. It's always kind of July is when our vacation time rolls over, so it's like I gotta find places to go or things to do. You know, I don't like just sitting at home sometimes, but
Have you been to Indiana before?
no, this will be my first time out there, so I'm kind of excited. I don't know what to expect. I don't even know what the weather's gonna be like. I have not looked it up. I'm bringing shorts and jeans. I feel like that's a safe bet.
Yeah, because I mean, there's not too many situations you'll need something other than that. It's either going to be a shorts or jeans, or you know, if you're in a place with crazy weather, both, but it'll be one of the two.
Yeah, so just trying to figure out. I'm very excited to see Doctor Strange because that's one of the things I'm gonna be doing while I'm up there. So we're gonna watch Doctor Strange together, and I'm excited.
Same here. I bought Doctor Strange movie tickets for Thursday as well. So I'm like, yeah, just because I'm out of town doesn't mean I'm not going to see it, especially because I think this is going to be one of the spoilery movies. Like, I think there's going to be a lot that's going to happen in it. And I don't want anything ruined for me because nowadays, like, there's so many YouTube videos and YouTube channels and Reddit things and whatnot out there that will, like, 5 hours after a movie drop, we'll be putting up videos like, what did this scene actually mean? And then the thumbnail gives away like something crucial. So you're like, oh, if I don't want the movie spoiled, I have to avoid all media for however long it takes for me to get to see the movie.
Yeah, I already heard that there's already a lot of spoilery stuff out there. Some of my friends are like, stay off of Reddit, stay off of like everywhere. You know, it's already out there. It's being spoiled. And I also feel like Marvel's spoiling it for me too.
I will say that I think maybe it's just because of the internet age or the YouTube age or whatever. I feel like movies aren't as surprising as they once were because, like, they drop so many trailers or so many interviews and stuff. It feels like you can piece together a lot of the things that are going to happen. Like, take, for example, Endgame. I kind of already knew that they were going to go back in time before the movie came out, and it was because they released set photos of them wearing like the 2012 Avengers outfits and whatnot. So it's like, well, why would they be wearing that if they're not going back in time? So.
I will say though, I don't know, it feels like we're a Marvel podcast now, but if you want us to be one, people, let us know. I feel like Jason and I could talk about Marvel for 2 hours and a week. But there was, when Endgame came out, there was like a toy leak of Valkyrie in the white outfit that they used to time travel in. Or something floating around. And everyone was like, oh, Valkyrie's going to be joining them on this time like thing. But she was kind of very little part of the movie. So
that's true.
You know, some, I feel like some things are there to mislead us.
That's true. Marvel is really good at misleading us with like fake toy drops and fake trailer scenes and all that stuff. Yeah. Oh, well, Indiana, here's a segue for you. Indiana, there's an episode of King of the Hill in one of the later seasons where Hank drops this little nugget on us. He's like, I've always wanted to visit Indiana. Is that weird? So I have a friend who's from Indiana, and he's like, yeah, that is very weird.
Do people not want to go up there?
I don't know. I've never been, so I have no real opinion. Maybe it's one of those things where you hate your hometown. I don't know. But yeah, we can get ready for this next episode. Are you ready to go?
Oh yeah, I'm ready to dive in.
All right, so we're going to talk about Halloween, which is season 2, episode 4. So still pretty early in the whole King of the Hill world. And it is 1997, October 26th. So just in time for Halloween. And I think it's like the 16th episode ever of King of the Hill, so still pretty early. So Hank and his guys, you know, they're all working together on a haunted house for Tom Landry Middle School. And they are like drawing an outline around Dale. And it's funny because he still has a cigarette in his mouth, which is a big Dale character thing. You know, he always has cigarettes around him or smoking cigarettes or has spare cigarettes taped to his ankle or whatever. So he's still smoking a cigarette while they're trying to do the outline, and he comes up and they're like, yeah, it looks like his tongue's sticking out. Then Peggy comes in and they scare her with like a what is it, a witch. And then of course they kind of reminisce back to when they used to be kids doing trick-or-treating, and it's almost reminiscent. I mean, they're purposefully doing it because it's like the off-brand Charlie Brown Christmas special music that they're playing. And it shows like the young Hill kids running around, and Hank's dressed as a devil, and his buddies are doing all the trick or treating, and they go to one place and they don't get the candy they want, so they egg it. And then of course we realize that they're egging Hank's house, and now they're going to go over to one of the other houses. So, I mean, I guess at least they're egging their own property. I don't know, but did you ever do that? Were you ever a troublemaker in Halloween?
I wanted to be like, whenever we'd have get together, like friends would come over and spend the night. If Halloween was on a weekend, everyone would kind of spend the night at one house and go trick or treating together. And it was always that thing where everyone would talk about like, oh, like a few years ago or before I moved here, if they were from out of town, like we used to go and toilet paper and egg people's houses. This is also like elementary school kids, like we would be talking about this much, and I would always be like, oh, that sounds fun, to kind of just be like cause havoc into the neighborhood. So I'd be like, okay, let's gather eggs, let's do this. And then, you know, nothing would ever come of it. You know, these people are all talk, man, all talk, little third graders.
That's all right, that's kind of what you want, I guess, versus I don't know, if you're destroying property at third grade, it's like, what path are you going to lead in your life?
Well, Hank turned out fine.
That's true. You could be a propane salesman if you do that. Yeah. Well, we flash forward over to the church, and there's a local Bible study going on, and apparently a new woman has joined the church. The pastor, you can even kind of tell by the pastor's demeanor that even he's kind of gotten done with her. Like, she's just too much for him, because she's like, after a number of hasty calls and letters, I'd like to introduce you all to Miss Junie Harper, which, you know, you'll learn in this episode, like how we all say Peggy, you know, Peggy is designed for you to hate. Junie Harper is really designed for you to hate. Like, I don't think you're not supposed to identify with her or see her as a hero. You're like clearly supposed to see her as a villain. And so she comes in And there's a lot of like teenagers and youngish people in this Bible study group. And she is definitely one of the really, really hardcore Christians who are convinced that like Halloween is a satanic holiday and all that stuff. And so she's kind of drilling it into the people's heads, including Luann, that is a holiday for witches and Satanists. Luann goes home, she's super excited, and she's like, "Oh, this Halloween was a satanic holiday invented by the Druish." And then Peggy corrects her, she's like, "Oh, I think you mean the Druids." But you know, she keeps Luann's sticking to her ground and saying, "Yeah, it is a devilish holiday. It is evil and yada yada yada." And Hank's like, "No, it's just good, clean fun and all that stuff." But she's not all that happy about it, and she's just kind of stuck on the whole Judy Harper thing. Yeah, have you? I don't know about you, if you've ever met anybody like that. That is like a perfect description of my mom, almost. Like we never went trick or treating growing up because she totally believed that it was like a satanic holiday. So we did like some of the churches would do like hay rides or whatever. So that's what we did. But yeah, we never to this day. You know, I'm in my 30s. I've never gone trick or treating. Maybe when I have kids of my own, I will, but.
Maybe it's not too late. Maybe you should just go out. Man, I forgot where I was, but I was with a friend, and it was Halloween, and this person was telling us that there's a neighborhood that does like an adult Halloween. Like their street just agreed that it's like an adult Halloween. So there's drinks and just like music, and it's like I guess like a block party almost, but you can go from like house to house and people are grilling. Like that sounds fun to me.
That does sound fun. If like a neighborhood was just set up where it was just adults and like, yeah, you go house to house and you give away like instead of, well, no, actually, even as a grown adult, I wouldn't mind getting a Butterfinger, but you could also get like beer and Jello shots and stuff like that.
Yeah, I always imagined as an adult, because in TV you see like the neighbors, everyone gets along, and like you have neighborly things, and everyone hangs out, and there's like block parties and stuff. I like barely know my neighbors. You know, it's very like I keep to myself, you keep to yourself kind of thing.
That's how I've always used to live until I moved out here. Like, I don't know if it was just the whole new town trying to get to know people thing or whatever, but I almost, like, when I was living in Texas, especially when I was living in Austin, I don't even think I could tell you any of my neighbors' names. I kind of knew what they looked like, and that was about it.
Yeah, I know what my neighbors look like. They did give me an apple pie once. My neighbor gave me an apple pie. So that was nice. But other than that, like, there's no hangouts, no game nights. So it's such a shame.
Yeah, well, it's not too late to build a relationship with the neighbors as long as you don't have terrible ones. But yeah, so back to the show. Hank's still getting ready for Halloween, and you know, he's kind of old school. I mean, Hank is Hank. He's old school, and like he always is, and he's kind of upset that all the new things that are out there instead of like traditional Halloween costumes. So instead of there being ghosts and goblins and devils and everything, he's upset that it's like pop culture stuff like the Dalmatians or Jenny McCarthy or whatever. And you know, he's kind of going on, and where's the witches? Where's the he just, you know, kind of a whole boomer thing, I guess. Luann goes back to Junie, and they're working on what is an alternative to the haunted houses that happen at Halloween, called a Hallelujah House, which I guess they call a righteous alternative. Luann mentions in passing to Junie that Bobby's school is sponsoring a traditional haunted house, and of course this upsets Junie. Have you ever been to a Hallelujah House before?
No, I've never been to a Hallelujah house. I've done, like, not me as a child, I've done it, but I've, as a high schooler and a grown up, have done these things called like safe trick-or-treats. I don't know if you know what those
are. I don't. Tell me more.
Well, it's when I was in high school, basically they would turn a couple of hallways into like fake houses. So each club got a different classroom, and basically you would just hand out candy, and then there would be like, you would have a little game set up in your room. So it was like the kids could come and trick or treat in a safe area, and they still knocked on the door and came in. So that was kind of the thing that we did. I always thought it was lame, though.
I mean, I guess it's something, but yeah, it is kind of lame. It's like, unless you live in a terrible neighborhood, you know, it's like where, or you live in a neighborhood with a full of just people who hate Halloween. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, if it wasn't a safe neighborhood to go out trick or treating, but like I think it was a safe neighborhood. Plus, you couldn't get really scared. When I was a kid, trick or treating, I got scared. You know, some people would decorate their house.
Mm-hmm.
Like super creepy. And have you ever had, well, you never went trick or treating, but sometimes they would put like, it would look like a scarecrow sitting in a chair holding the bowl of candy. And then you would reach for the candy and then it would be a person and you get like freaked out. Like that happened to me as a child. And I like screamed. You don't get that in a safe trick or treat.
You could though, but yes, I get it. You don't get that.
I think it was frowned upon in high school to do that.
I guess it makes sense, like, if it's a safe trick-or-treat scaring people, I don't know. But it's still trick-or-treat, but who knows. We jump back to the school where they're building the haunted house, and we see Principal Carl Moss, who's going to be a character, recurring character from this point on. This is actually his first appearance in the show. He comes up with Judy Harper, and apparently Judy Harper has threatened the principal with a lawsuit because I guess some people consider Halloween a religious holiday and separation of church and state, so the school should not be sponsoring a Halloween event, which kind of makes me wonder if she's going to, I mean, we all know the answer, but it's like, is she going to hold the same standards when Christmas rolls around? Like, hey, separation of church and state, we shouldn't be having Christmas decorations around here. Moss is like, well, I'm going to have to cancel it because I just don't want to deal with the lawsuits or whatever. And Hank says, Hank just grabs one of the witches like, hey, give me Hagatha. There's only room for one witch around here, and walks her away. So it's clear that Hank just does not like Judy Harper at all. They go back home and Hank's upset, but Peggy's like, hey, just because you can't do it at the school doesn't mean you can't do it at the house. You know, just turn the garage into a haunted house. And Hank's like, that's a great idea. Hank decides he wants to, you know, teach Bobby the quote-unquote spirit of Halloween by, you know, doing trick-or-treating by egging houses and toilet paper and all that stuff. So he takes Hank out. Bobby doesn't seem into it. He seems to like be like, this is vandalism. So I don't know. He's, I guess, a good kid on it. He's a good kid with a good head on his shoulders, but still, like, Hank's like, come on, you're going to learn how to be a hellraiser. They see Junie Harper's house as she's standing outside yelling for her cat. And clearly, like, if I were her cat, I would be on the same page as her. Like, I guess the cat's a boy because his name's Joshua. So I'd be on the same team as Joshua, avoiding Junie as much as possible. But yeah, she gets upset and she leaves because she can't find the cat, goes back inside, and then Hank seizes an opportunity of, hey, let's welcome the new neighbor to the neighborhood. So they go ahead and they start egging her house. And she runs out and says, oh, I see you, Satanist. You can't scare me. And then she gets to her car and backs out, I guess, to chase down whoever was there, which there was nobody there. I mean, there was Hank and Bobby, but they already kind of dashed out and were gone, and they were on foot. So she doesn't need to get in her car. But in the process, she backs up and kills her cat accidentally. And then Hank is like a little bit of proud of Bobby. You know, they run home, and then all of a sudden the police show up with Junie, and They get blamed for the accident, and then, of course, Hank and Bobby deny everything. And I forget, I really wish I knew what the Bible verse was that she quoted, but she quoted something about, about about them not being real Christians or not being righteous. And then Hank quotes back, "Get out of my house, Exodus," which is, again, another great Hank Hill quote. And then, of course, he whispers over to Bobby, that he's a regular Hellraiser, just like his dad. I don't know. She clearly ran over her own cat. Nobody killed it but her. I mean, I guess you can argue that maybe if she weren't flustered, she would have paid attention more and noticed that the cat was in the driveway, but I don't know.
She was very focused and crazy. So, that things happen. I love the Dale part where they kind of throw the stuff at Dale's ha like to get rid of the evidence. And then Dale thinks he's under attack,
Yes.
which is like it's going to come up in the next scene, but I was like, that's hilarious. Like, great payoff for what's a small joke later on.
Yeah. Luann is now, Luann's just fully invested in everything Junie Harper is saying and is convinced that, like, Halloween is a satanic holiday and everything. But being the not bright person she is kind of shown to be in the show, she kind of draws the conclusion that because Hank, Uncle Hank, is like so drawn to this Halloween holiday and really trying to make it work that he must be a Satanist, and she's trying to convince Bobby that he's a Satanist, but Bobby's not buying into it at first. But then after a while, he like looks back and he remembers, Hank saying things like, "Oh, you're a regular Hellraiser, and where are all the devils and stuff like that." So now Bobby's unsure. There's a city council meeting, and Junie Harper convinces that her house is attacked by Satanists, and she uses her own dead cat that as like evidence, like, "Oh, they killed and sacrificed my cat for their ritual," which is not true. She ran over it. But the city council passes a curfew in effect, which ultimately cancels Halloween because nobody's supposed to be outside after, I think, like 6 or 7. I can't remember what it was. Interestingly enough, I guess because it's indoors, the Hallelujah House is still running just fine. But Hank is convinced, like he is just ready to go and teaching Bobby the true meaning of Halloween. Come hell or high water is the actual words he uses. And I guess saying come hell did not really help his argument with Bobby in trying to convince him that he's not a Satanist. So now Bobby is like worried about his soul, and he doesn't, he's an impressionable, what, 12-year-old kid, so he wants to do the right thing or what he believes the right thing is. And Luann kind of coaxes him to go into this Hallelujah house, and she drives him and drops him off there, kind of behind Peggy and Hank's back. Hank is upset to hear this, of course, because he wants to spend time with his son, and he's just tired of Junie Harper ruining all this stuff. And then Peggy gets mad because, Peggy's like, "I'm just as Christian as anybody else, and I, I've been willing to put up with all this Junie Harper stuff up to now, but you're trying to ruin my son and my husband's relationship, and if you keep doing that, I'm going to kick you out of the house." Hank decides that he is going to become I guess a rebel. He puts on his old ill-fitting devil costume and just starts yelling trick or treat like a protest down the street, and then other people start running out and joining them and obviously doing makeshift Halloween costumes. I think Boomhauer says he's a mime, and Bill tries to be a ghost, but then he tears the blanket and he's like, "Oh, toga!" And then in a suit and tie, Dale comes out, and he's like a lobbyist, which I guess to him is the most scary thing in the world. And then eventually Luann comes out, and she's in like a makeshift devil costume too, so she clearly is starting to see Hank's way of doing things. They kind of walk over to the Hallelujah House. The Hallelujah House is like a very religious extremist view of the world, I guess you could say. they take a very extreme stance on things and show like the real horrors of the world. So there's one where it's like a young couple's on a park bench and they're making out and stuff. But then it's one of those stage sets where you can turn it around, you can flip it, and then there's another thing behind it. They flip it, and then it shows a morgue, and then the toe tags say his and hers. And, like, the argument there is that sex kills. And then, of course, there's another with, like, a nice little family having a dinner, and grandpa comes down, and the grandpa's a guy in an ape costume. He's like, what, that's your grandpa's? Like, that's what the schools teach, that we came from apes and everything. So just this. I could say from experience that while, you know, watching the TV, it's funny to laugh at, but having actually been to a Hallelujah type house thing, that's not too far off from what they actually do in those.
It seems more terrifying than what Hank is building at his place.
Yes, it does seem more terrifying, and then it's also just like huge propaganda of things that aren't true and stuff, but very extremist religious thing. But you know, Bobby's there and all the kids are there, and then it's almost like I've never actually been to one, but one of my friends has, and they tell me it's like one of the, like, you have to be a very, very strong-willed person not to do it, one of those like timeshare sellings. Apparently, like, you can get a free vacation if you do go to one of those timeshare things and like go through the talk and whatnot, and then you get like 2 days to do whatever. But of course they sell hard, and it's really hard not to walk away from it. But it reminds me of that, because like at the end of the thing, there's all these kids at the table, and like they're all given this piece of paper to sign the Hallelujah Club and, you know, I guess be a good Christian or whatever. And Bobby's just kind of deciding whether he wants to do it or not. And then you see another girl and a guy, and he's like, look, you ate the cookie. I didn't tell you to eat the cookie. Now you must sign. So it's like a high-pressure sales situation. Then Hank and crew show up to the Hallelujah house doing their trick-or-treating. Junie is not happy, and, you know, Hank's just trying to be funny and say, you know, I'm just trying to keep an eye out for my boy, and pulls out a fake plastic eye, and the kids start laughing, and he's got the heart, and he pulls out like a fake pumping heart. Kids are laughing, and Judy's like, well, you'll go to hell if you go there. And then Hank's like, you'll get candy. And then it's like a hell candy. And Bobby's like, you know, stop, I don't care about candy, I just want to spend time with my dad. And so now he kind of comes to Hank's side. Yeah, so Bobby wants to go trick-or-treating, but because of spending time with his dad, not because of the candy or anything else. And then, of course, as they leave, and yeah, Junie looks defeated, and Bobby's like, you know, Dad, I really do want the candy. And that ends the episode. So yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know, this is just I like the episode. I think part of it is because I grew up in that kind of area, and like, on one hand, it's funny to me. On the other hand, it's like war flashbacks. but it is kind of funny. And then I think I've known a lot of Junie Harpers in my life. So it's kind of funny and reminiscent and stuff. But it's also like, I don't know, like PTSD flashbacks. But then also you get a few good, you know, Hankisms out of it. Like, get out of my house, Exodus. Or... I don't know, you also get to see that Hank just really cares about his son. Like, he wants just to, you know, celebrate and have a fun time doing trick-or-treating with his kid like he used to do.
Yeah, and I love that Bobby just wants to spend time with Hank, and it's fun seeing kind of the flip-flop of, you know, Hank being really extreme about something, which I feel like is kind of a silly thing, but like, Hank is super passionate about it.
Yes, he really loves Halloween, like, more than you'd think he would, because he always comes off, granted, in the earlier seasons, he wasn't as bad, but he always comes off as just being a really, you know, hardcore guy who doesn't like fun or anything. So seeing him, like, really go all out for a kid's holiday is kind of unique.
Yeah, and, it's just... This is just another, like, really fun easy watch episode. It's like, you can sit down, enjoy it, and, you know, continue with your day. It's a great break from everything.
Yeah, it's not like it takes a lot of brain power. Also, the one scene that I do like, too, is when Peggy stands up for Hank and Bobby. Because it's one of the few times you see that, like, she actually threatens to throw Luann out of the house if she comes between Bobby and Hank again in the future.
Yeah, you could see that. Well, you see that Peggy's very protective of Luann. Because anytime Hank gets upset with Luann, she's protective of her. But, you know, she's more protective of the core group, you know, her and Bob, her, Hank, and Bobby. Like, that's her pack.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd like that. And then also we kind of get a little bit of Luann's personality, because I don't, you know, me personally, I don't think she really believed any of it, so to speak. I think she's just very impressionable. Like, she did make a whole 180 really quickly. Like, she made a 180 to the belief system, like, after just a simple Bible study. And then, like, as soon as Peggy put her in her place, she did a 180 back. So, you know, it's Luann's a very impressionable person.
Oh, yeah. You're going to definitely see this. As you watch more King of the Hill, you're going to see that. Not that Luann, I don't know. It's, I don't want to say she doesn't stand for anything, but she stands for everything, I guess.
Yeah, she's very easily manipulated, which, you know, I guess that's her character, and there's plenty of people. I mean, she's, what, 22? So she's still kind of young. Youngish, I guess.
True. But I do appreciate that whatever she's standing up for, she, like, goes full force into it.
Absolutely. She's all or nothing. She's ride or die. But yeah, this was definitely one of my favorite episodes. And it's, I always say, like, not that there's bad episodes in the later seasons, but I feel like there's a lot of gems in, like, the first five seasons, especially, like, the first two or three. I feel like there are more good episodes there than bad.
Yeah, I feel like there's more of the one-shot kind of holiday silly things that they go along in the first half of the series, which I enjoy.
It is a very fun show, but yeah, that's all I have. Do you have anything else?
No, I feel like this is just a, like, really simple, quick, fun episode.
It is. And yeah, and I guess we will see you all. We might take a break, just keep a look on the queue, because, you know, everybody's traveling and everything. But if we're not, we'll see you soon, and we'll be covering yet another great up. Oh, Goodbye Normal Jeans. This one is one of my favorite ones that is going to come up. I know I say that about every episode, but they actually say something negative about San Antonio, so I really enjoy that episode. But until then, I am Jason.
I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.